Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. I am so glad to be back with you on the air. So glad to be able to talk about God's Word, because it is in that Word that we live. What He promised was not just for this person or that person from the Old Testament, but He wants to touch our lives. He wants to change us and conform us more to His image and His likeness, that we might truly be His disciples. And what a time Lent can be in that regard. It's not saying I'm going to really reform my life. I've got to do this and this and this and this and this. No, start with one thing. Just one area. What would I do differently? Ask God for the grace. Not in just a quick moment, but give God at least 10 or 15 minutes. And just tell Him that you love Him and that you want to be more and more like Him. He loves to hear that. He loves to hear you turning toward Him. And He will be there with all the grace that you will need. He will never force it upon you, but He'll be there with all the grace you need to do His will. So let's take a look at the first reading for today, Monday of the third week of Lent. And it comes from the second book of Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. This is quite a story, so listen carefully. Naaman, the army commander of the king of Aram, was highly esteemed and respected by his master, for through him the Lord had brought victory to Aram. But valiant as he was, the man was a leper. Now the Arameans had captured in a raid on the land of Israel a little girl who became the servant of Naaman's wife. And she said, "If only my master would present himself to the prophet in Samaria," she said to her mistress, "he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went and told his lord just what the slave girl from the land of Israel had said. "Go," said the king of Aram, "I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman set out, taking along 10 silver talents, 6,000 gold pieces, and 10 festal garments. To the king of Israel he brought the letter, which read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When he read the letter, the king of Israel tore his garments and exclaimed, "Am I a God with power over life and death, that this man should send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? Take note, you can see he's only looking for a quarrel with me." And when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his garments, he sent word to the king, "Why have you torn your garments? Let him come to me and find out that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots, and he stopped at the door of Elisha's house. The prophet sent him the message, "Go and wash 7 times in the Jordan. Your flesh will heal, and you will be clean." But Naaman went away angry. "I thought that he would surely come out and stand there to invoke the Lord his God, and would move his hand over the spot and thus cure the leprosy. Are not the rivers of Damascus, the Abana, and the Parfar better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be cleansed?" With this, he turned about in anger and left. Now notice, but his servants came up and reasoned with him. "My father," they said, "if the prophet had told you to do something extraordinary, would you have not done it? All the more now since he said to you, 'Wash and be clean,' should you do as he said?" And these are my words. Believe it or not, Naaman was touched by what they said. So Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan 7 times at the word of the man of God. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He returned with his whole retinue to the man of God. On his arrival, he stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." What a beautiful story of overcoming our own fears and our own emotions and our own image of how something is going to happen or we think should happen. Listen carefully to the Lord. He leads you in the way he wants you to go. And Psalms 42 and 43, "Athirst is my soul for the living God. When shall I go and behold the face of God? As the hind longs for running waters, so my soul longs for you, my God. Athirst is my soul for God, the living God. When shall I go and behold the face of God? Send forth your light and your fidelity. They shall lead me on and bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling place. Then will I go into the altar of God, the God of my gladness and joy. And then will I give you thanks upon the harp, O God, my God." What a beautiful, beautiful psalm. I'd recommend Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 during Lent. Really would, because God doesn't want us going around mournful. He simply wants us to look clearly at ourselves. And yes, mourn our sins, yes, but not our whole life. There are many things we've done in life, perhaps, that were good. God loves you for them. Thank him for them. Thank him for the times that things went well. And seek to be more and more his follower. And he will help you. Luke 4, verses 24 to 30. Jesus said to the people in the synagogue at Nazareth, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away. Oh, how powerful is our anger when something does not go our way. When we think something should be this or should be that, the anger in us. And that's what happened to these people. They were angry and they wanted to destroy the Son of God. Listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. God uses all kinds of experiences to draw us closer to him. Not just the way we envision it. Sometimes it is, but sometimes because we're weak, what we are asking for is something that we would like, something that we want. What we want to come to the point in faith is to be able to say to the Lord, "Lord, I want your will. I not only want your will, I want you to accomplish it the way you want to accomplish it." And believe me, that's where I have trouble. I want God's will. It's just that I want it my way. And that doesn't work. And I'm finding that out. That doesn't work. Lord, let your will be done your way. Because that's what brings us the fullness of life. I'm preaching to myself while I'm doing it. So all of you out there who have a struggle of accepting God's will, let's pray for one another. Let's pray hard for one another. Because God really, if it's God's will, then it's going to lead us closer to him. That's what we want. We don't just want what we want on our terms and then say, "Oh, I want God's will." It really means saying, "Lord, I want your will, your way. I'm not there yet. I understand your battle. I understand the hardship. But please, let us join together in prayer. I'll pray for you if you pray for me, that we really might open our arms to the will of God wholeheartedly, even in the small things or in the great things, that we open our hearts to His will, because His will leads to life. I was struck very much by a commentary that Sister Wendy Beckett, she was a South African-born British art expert. She was a consecrated virgin and a contemplative. And this is from England. She says, "For most, their enthusiastic acclamation of Jesus as Messiah disguises from them their repudiation of what the Messiahship means. As soon as it involves not just death, but degradation, to be driven outside the camp bearing his reproach," that comes from Hebrews, "they reject him. They cannot believe that holiness is without beauty and majesty." And Jesus knows they can. He understands our heart and how little able it is to realize truth and adhere to it. And it is this clear vision that gives his love its aching utterance. Whoever has been as lonely as Jesus, perhaps lonely in proportion to his total love, whoever of us has been that? No one ever came to our dear Lord without knowing that here was someone to whom he or she mattered, who would gladly die on their behalf. And I think that is what we must ask him to achieve in us. How about that, brothers and sisters? Oh, yes, I want God's will, but I want it my way. Oh, yes, I want God's will, but just do it tomorrow. Yes, I want God's will, but do it through these people. Oh, yes, 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 I want God's will. But then we have five or six things we attach to it. It's fine to tell the Lord you're struggling with accepting his will. It's fine to tell him that and to ask him for grace to overcome it, that you might do what he desires. You know, Lent, as difficult as the time it is, as the time it can be, it's also the time where God can do tremendous work in us. He can do work in us at any time, any place he chooses. But Lent is often a time, and sometimes we try to get by during Lent with doing something minimal. But what could you be doing this Lenten season that maybe you're not yet doing, of attacking, so to speak, by God's grace, some manner or some way you think or something you hope for that you know is probably not in God's will? Let's ask God's will, his way. Do we want God's will, many of us will say, but we want it my way. What we need to do is God's will, his way. And that's hard. It's not easy to do. So ask God for it every day. Ask him to give you more and more grace to do his will, his way. He loves you. He loves you so much. He died for you. He didn't die just for billions of people. He died for you. He died for each one of us. He knew us before we were brought into life on this earth. He knew us, and he loves us, and he desires that we might follow him so he can lead us to eternal life. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.